You have to humble yourself before the Lord, and then he will lift you up. Another one says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Now, humbling yourself is not praying, okay? I know people preach that, but prayer is communication with God. That's a privilege. Humbling yourself is truly seeing yourself the way God sees you and really hating what you've allowed the enemy to do in you and asking God to change it and bring brokenness and really realizing how horrible it is what you've done. How self-serving. So some of the things we were going to talk about tonight too, we talked with Karen last week, is self-blame. Okay? When you blame yourself for everything, and therefore you have to fix everything to feel like it'll be okay, to make up for messing up. Okay, it causes strong codependent relationships. It lets you let your spouse walk all over you, your children walk all over you, everybody blame you for everything. It makes you the scapegoat for everything, and you buy that it's really your fault. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that Satan hasn't used you, but when you actually take on a lie that you're to blame for everybody else's stuff, and if you would do everything right, everybody else would be right, it really makes you God. Granted, a bad God, but still God. Okay? God doesn't expect you to do anything correctly except by his grace and his leading. So before Christ, no matter what you're doing, whether you're eating off of the from the side of the tree of the knowledge of good or the side of the tree of the knowledge of evil, it's still irrelevant. Both of those things without God is hurting people. Both of those things without God is taking his place in creation. Okay? It's all bad. We got a tape called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, I think. It's all ugly. I think The Good, the Bad, and it's all ugly. No matter which tree you're eating, whatever side of the tree you're eating off of, it's still ugly. You're like, oh, Lord, get this stuff out of my heart. You've got to really hate this stuff before it goes, okay? You have to hate this stuff. So let's talk about self-blame. Self-blame is not where you really have done something wrong and you confess it, and God's faithful and just to forgive you that. Self-blame is a lie where you take on because of things you've picked up incorrectly, people saying around you, people straight out criticizing you, or people completely blaming you, looking for a scapegoat. But self-blame is a deep, deep lie in your heart that has a spirit involved that thinks you're to blame for everything wrong. It makes you way too important in the universe. It makes you way too consumed in your family life. Now, the key to self-blame is the lie of Savior, that if you're to blame, it's now your job to save everybody and to redeem everybody and to fix everything. And you're going to spend your whole life trying to fix everything else. You'll be an extreme man-pleaser. You will live to pick up on what you've messed up that you can fix, or what somebody might think you've messed up. A person can say something to you with no indicators from them that they think you're to blame, and you'll automatically see that as them blaming you, because you've been conditioned with this lie that enemy has placed in you that everything is your fault. Therefore, you have to fix everything. Now, some people may have it just in certain areas, okay? First of all, the only reason that the world is not perfect is because of the devil lying to people and causing them to believe his lies. Or because of pride, not needing God. You know, another really, this was in this book, but it's pretty eye-opening. When you get to heaven, do you realize that you can still end up in hell if you fall into pride, because that's what has happened to Lucifer? So maybe this whole game of life is to really help you get pride completely out of your heart so that you can spend eternity with God and not trying to compete with God, take the place of God, be in charge of everything, and try to take over the kingdom where you absolutely will not win. And God absolutely is not going to become codependent with you. So maybe this thing called life was a really good idea of God's idea, so that the people made in his image and his likeness would never fall into the lie that Satan fell into of thinking too highly of themselves. And I mean, we need some real fire to get this out of our heart, because even as ministers, as God begins to use us and to move, we start getting right on up that scale with Satan pretty fast. So when God sends the fire, it's because we need it. The baptism of fire is not a happy feeling. The baptism of fire that Jesus talks about is consuming everything that needs to be consumed of the enemy and of the flesh so you can be Christ-like. So watch it when you see me. Send the fire, Lord, send the fire. Oh, he is. Every time we go through these revivals, everybody's screaming, fire, fire. And it's not within a year or two that everybody is almost, where are you, God? What's happening? All, you know, hell has broken loose. What's going on? You asked for the fire. Now it's better to ask than to think you can get by without asking, because then you just get to be sifted. So it's always better to ask God to send it than to wait till the devil just comes in for an attack because you won't let go. But at the same time, when you ask for something, you ought to have your eyes open a little bit to what you're asking for so you can be prepared to receive the answer quickly. Now, self-blame is followed by a savior syndrome. Or there's two. There's the poor me, pity party, everything's my fault, but I can't fix anything. Deep, deep bitterness towards God. Okay, that's one way you can go with it. Another way you can go with it is try to be a perfectionist, try to fix everything, keep everybody happy, and drive yourself and everybody, you know, nuts in the process. I know when we're talking with Karen, her thing was when she asked people to do something or suggested people do something or kind of came up with an answer for people who weren't asking her to. And then when they didn't listen to her, it was a panic in her. It's just going to be worse, and I'm going to have to fix more mess. And so then there comes that self-righteous spirit of, if you would just do it my way. Why do I have to explain everything? Why do I have to figure it out? Why do I have to tell you? If you would just do it my way, because I'm not getting it. Don't you get it? I'm the Savior if you would just do it my way. Now, that's a lie. Okay, and I got to say this because people will take your tapes these days and cut off one little tiny thing that you say like that and then say that you proclaim that. So don't go by anybody's little tiny pieces of what somebody's saying, but find out the heart of people, find out what's really going on with people. And then if there's a spirit of error, pray that they turn that around. But the heart of people comes out of their mouths. Okay, so of course it's not that blatant. You're not sitting there thinking you think you're the Savior. We're all way too mature for that, I hope. But sometimes you have to break this down. That's what the groups are for. That's what you need to talk this stuff out. And you have to take it lower and lower. So what does that mean? So what does that mean? So what does that mean? Until you get way down to something and you can't go any lower. And usually it's going to come down to something about you thinking you're God. Or you're taking his place. Or you hate him. I mean, it's about as low as it gets. Hating God is bitterness, or being mad at God, or thinking he did things wrong. Bitterness is as bad as it gets on the roots. The other root is greed, taking care of self, I can do it, I don't need anybody. And so when you get that as low as it can go, it comes around to you being in charge and the Savior. So one is there's no hope, you know, because God's so bad, lie. The other is you've got to do everything, it's all about you, lie, bad. And the two go together many times. Okay, so you can start digging this stuff out. Now, so we have self-blame. How many can relate to self-blame in here? OK, Okay, quite a few. A lot of times, if you are on the end of a relationship where you've ever been the abused, you have a self-blame hook in you. Kick me. So the sign, just kick me. I'll think I deserved it. Okay, so if you're someone who lets people walk all over you, there is a self-blame spirit we need to get rid of. Okay, how many kind of see a little bit, as humbling as this is, of the savior syndrome in them? Yeah, I've got to fix everything. I'm just so important. I have to do it all. If I don't do it, nobody's going to do it. There, nobody's listening to me. And doesn't anybody understand? You just make things worse. Anyhow, you know, the sad thing about this kind of ministry, actually, is how much we all have a lot of it, if not most of it, which is why we all are walking around with logs in our eyes and we can't see to help our brothers get free, but we can certainly judge them. And we don't communicate because we're not on the same page with people. We're seeing everything through our own perverted way of seeing things. So God wants to set us free from all this. And he can and he has been. And that's the awesome thing. It's wonderful as God sets us free. Okay, so we have self-righteous. Somebody write these down for me so I want to call for them a little bit. Self-righteous, self-blame, and just call it savior fix-it syndrome. What were some of the other things we did? Okay, perfectionist. Many times, if you've got to be the savior, then you have to buy into that you have a lot of gifts and talents and you're smart and you can do these things. It's up to you to fix it. Now, one thing we had this week uncovered with somebody else is they want to be perfect because they really feel like if they were perfect, it would solve everything. And therefore, they're bitter at God because he didn't make them perfect. It's like, God, if you just made me perfect, this would have worked out okay. I could have fixed everything by now. I'd have it all solved. Well, the most perfect created being that ever was, name was?
Jesus.
The most perfect created being that there has ever been was? Lucifer. Satan, Lucifer, the devil. His name was Lucifer in heaven before he fell. All right. Was being perfect the answer? Whoa. Is there anyone here who thinks that had they been Lucifer, given all that, they wouldn't have fallen? And how do you know that? Because God lives inside of you, and you still buy a bunch of that baloney and hang on to pride and self-righteousness. It probably would have just happened a lot sooner. Isn't that powerful? Okay, so does anybody want to be a perfect creation? Trick question. All right, let me see it this way. Does anybody want to be a completely surrendered vessel?
Yes.
What's the difference in concept to a perfected person compared to being a surrendered vessel? A surrendered vessel means that whatever God has given you, you have surrendered it to him to use for his glory and his purpose. Which also says there's nothing wrong with what he gave you. It's what the creator intended to give you. Oh, Lord, say that again. The one thing I never can do is say something twice, very rarely. I can give you the concept. All right. When you have surrendered who you are to him, you're not actually asking him to change who you are. And when you get to that place of loving self that God created, Satan has lost his hold on making you bitter. Does everybody get that? When you can come to agreement with the Creator that you are wonderfully made, then you can begin to surrender what he gave you to him for his glory. Wow, that was good. That's bumper sticker good. It's kind of long. I have to get a big car. Won't go on those new little energy efficient cars. Could do it along a bus. All right, did you get that? Okay, this is coming from the Holy Spirit. I never thought this before. All right, when you can come in agreement with your Creator and embrace who He made you to be, your gender, your nationality, your looks, your skills, your intelligence, everything He intended you to be, when you can come in agreement with Him that you're wonderfully made, Satan has lost his power to bring you into bitterness and low self-esteem. And then when you can take all of that, ooh, this is really good, you guys. When you can take all of that and surrender it to God, Satan has lost his authority to bring you into pride. Do you get that? Ooh, this is good. Any area that you haven't come in agreement with your Creator about is an area you're still bitter. And you need to go after it in God. The political climate can't change it. Your financial or social changes in your finances or your social life is not going to change it. You have to come in agreement with God who created you. Quit believing the lies of the devil about it. Get out of bitterness. That's why the Bible says, husbands, love yourself. Love your wife as you love yourself. There's an understanding there for Christian husbands that as a Christian husband, you should love yourself. And that's just prior to marriage 101. I just encourage you women, don't ever marry someone before they love themselves. Because they can't love you until they love themselves. They can use you. They can try to manipulate you. They can hurt you. They can, all these kind of things. But if they get to a place of loving themselves, then they can surrender who they are to God and be able to pour out love to you. And Christ, Jesus, knows who He is. He always knew who He was. He always knew He was God. He did not have an identity crisis, even if the church today doesn't seem to know who He is. Satan tried to tell him he wasn't God. Satan tried to tempt him to believe he wasn't God. Satan tried to get him to lay down his deity and worship Satan, and he never did that.